Our scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. In you, the riches of the nations will come. We're grateful on campus for the Crossroads office, which not only helps international students who are on campus, but also oversees those who want to do off-campus studies as well. This is sort of, as you've gathered, an international emphasis in chapel. And we're glad to have Ian Slater, who's a graduate assistant with student development, come and share some reflections of his experience overseas. Please welcome Ian.
Good morning, Geneva College. It's so excellent to be with you guys this morning, and I'm particularly excited to be with some of the freshmen and see some of my freshman friends around here. You guys doing all right, finishing up the semester? Yeah. Congratulations for finishing up your first year. Almost. So hang in there. And I have a special connection with you freshmen. I wanted to just kind of let this known publicly. Not only did I come in to Geneva College the same time that you guys showed up on campus in general, I'm a first-year grad student. Yeah, I started working here when you guys started coming to study. But also, there's a special connection we have that's deeper than that. You see, when you guys first showed up on August 25th for orientation, that was my birthday. Now, usually for August 25th, you know, all my friends, they're moving into dorms and people are busy and there's nothing that we can really do. But this year, you know, I come to work and there are balloons everywhere. And I look outside and I see parking lots filling up with new friends. And you know what? You guys are so great. You even brought your parents to my big birthday party. So thank you so much. It's great to... Hey guys, I don't know what you did this summer, but I get the privilege to share with you a little bit about something I did this summer, and it, kind of some reflections about that. So this summer, it started, I'm from Portland, Oregon. It started with a series of airplane rides. My flight itinerary was going to be Portland to Los Angeles to Fort Worth to Chicago to Cincinnati to Paris to Prague, Czech Republic, to Cairo, and then finally, a very, very tired young man and his companion from Asbury University landed in the country of Yemen, Some of you have heard Yemen in the news recently. It's tip of Saudi Arabia, long next to Oman and across the Red Sea from Djibouti and those countries that we're all very familiar with. But we also, Yemen has also been in the news for that political unrest, as well as it's been called one of the top 10 humanitarian crises in the world. I got to go there this summer to teach English, be an English teacher, because everyone wants to know English. So the first experience I have, actually before I even land in Yemen, I'm on the plane with my companion named Jared. And he and I are going to travel together, and we're going to, you know, love on these people and teach a little English and just learn the people and share life with them. We're on this plane. The plane is full of Egyptians and Arabs. And we're sitting there. I'm thinking, I'm so excited. This is going to be great. And this man leans across the aisle and goes, hey, hey, to the only two white guys, right, in this whole thing. He goes, hey, are you Muslim? I mean, what do we, we're like, what do we say to that? You know, how do you say that and respond to that question tactfully? And then we land and we don't really have, you know, the same, it's a little different as far as what they have technology-wise. So there isn't that really cool corridor that comes out and hooks up to the plane, you know, and then you walk out the corridor and you're like, dun, da, da, dun. You know, we don't have that corridor in Yemen. Instead, we get off the plane, we go down these stairs, walk across the tarmac, and the wind is blowing with dust and the heat and the humidity, and there's fumes that are just blowing across the tarmac. We go into this little building, no joke, the largest airport in the country, about the size of the gym floor. Sorry, guys, up here, it's the size of the gym floor, the largest airport. We step into these doors, and when I step in, I see ahead of me, I'm going, what's in this room? Now, there's three kinds of people. There are the passengers, and airports are always busy. So even in the middle of nowhere, this airport is swamped with people, and they're pushing, they're shoving in this one room. And then there's the security guards, you know, and they got pistol and pistol and pistol and machine gun. I mean, it's intense. You know, I'm looking at this going, this is not your local English constable walking through the village. You know, this is... Now, the third person, I see several men on the very end. They have these little kiosks, these almost podiums. They're lined up. There's three or four of them. They have their tunics. Yemen is a very traditional Islamic country, very, very conservative. They're wearing their tunics with Western sports jackets on top, little name tags, you know. They got their goatees or their beards, and there are these kiosks. And on the other side of them, I see a corridor, and I think that's hope. That's life right there. It's going through that corridor, getting out of this. That's my goal. I walk up to the kiosk. I look down at this man. I have my passport out. I have this invitation letter from the organization I was with. I have my paperwork, my copies of my visa, and I just hand it to him. I'm thinking, hey, take this. He leans over to me.
What are you doing in my country? Why are you here?
And I was blown away. I'm thinking, what are we going to do? I mean, how do you even converse about this? I'm here to teach English. Well, I don't know if it was my answers or my face or what it was, but I found myself through the corridor, but unfortunately in a tiny room. Three or four people, these Arabs, surrounding me and my companion as we sit in the chair, shaking, you know. And they're asking us. It felt like an interrogation, you know. I was not expecting this. I'm supposed to be meeting a contact from my organization. His name is Mishael. Mishael was supposed to be there, give us the passport, the visas, the permission to enter the country. No Mishael. Instead, I have these men asking me, why are you in my country? What are you doing here? What is your purpose? Do you like Muhammad? Are you a Muslim? And they're asking these questions. How do you respond to that? You know, what do you do in those moments? And in that moment, I wish I had been thoughtful and holy enough to ask the question, what does it mean to be an ambassador of God in this crazy, chaotic moment? What does it mean to be an ambassador of God? Unfortunately, I think I had already begun to fail in my mission as an ambassador of God. I had already begun to let fear take a hold of me, to think, what am I doing? You know, like, why am I here? You're right. Why am I in your country? What am I doing in this land characterized by tribal conflict, civil war, political unrest, Al-Qaeda operations? What am I doing here? But then also I started buying into these lies of judgmentalism, this simplistic way that we think about the Arab world. Because we're all Americans that are post-September 11th. So there's some easy frameworks that we jump to, some assumptions about how they are, how they treat people. Instead of looking at these security guards thinking, oh, these guys are here for me, my assumption is, I better be careful, you know? And I was already jumping into assumptions and judgmentalism as an ambassador of the king. And I think for a lot of us, I think being an ambassador for the king, ambassador for Christ, an ambassador to other countries, other nations, is something that we don't do very well at. I'm talking about us at Geneva College. We don't do very well at that. Now, I'm making a claim like that. I have to defend it somehow. So let me just let you guys be the judges. I do some work with surveys and assessments on campus, and one of the things we have to do at the very beginning is define the parameters of what we're doing. So we'll take a little test together. I'll just spell out two quick parameters, and then I'll ask you a few questions. Ambassadors, this ambassador test. What would an ambassador test look like? I think at the very top, we'd have some really fancy emblem with 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20 on it. This passage says, God who reconciled us to himself through Christ has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them, and has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We're Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us. As if Christ, the King of Kings, is making his appeal to all other nations of reconciliation through us, through his ambassadors. So we got this logo at top of our little survey, of our little test we're going to take on this on ambassadorship. And here are the two parameters, very simple pieces of what it means to be an ambassador. First, ambassadors are representatives of the king, right? You don't have an ambassador who's a freelancer. Hey, I'm an ambassador. Well, who do you represent? Oh, I don't represent anyone, you know. No, ambassadors have a king that they represent. They have a nation. They have a way of life. They have a people that they represent. A quick story. There's a little grocery store called Alcajeras. And this Alcajera grocery store, it means the castle. I would go down there a couple times a week. I would walk down the streets, you know, and all these vehicles without exhaust pipes and everything are just choking. The fumes were incredible and the dust, and all these men would walk by. And really, I mean, talk about a perspective change. One of the friendliest places I've ever been. People would grab my hand and say, come to my home. I give you food. Welcome to my country. Okay? So I'm walking down the street. Everyone's saying, hey. And they're like, hey, it's a Westerner, you know. And I'm walking down the street. And then I would be this intersection I would walk through on my way to the grocery store. Now, at this intersection, it's a couple big roads, and some really bizarre things happen to the sidewalks. You know, we like our sidewalks, you know, 2 or 3 people wide, you know, kind of the right distance from the road, you know. At this one intersection, sidewalks would just disappear. You'd be turning the corner, your sidewalk would get narrower and narrower, and then you're walking along the wall and cars are flying by, and your sidewalk would disappear. Other places, the sidewalk would become multi-leveled. So you're walking with your friend, and your friend's going up. Yeah. And at other points, we would find the sidewalk got very wide. At some point, a couple feet, like 5, 6 feet. At one point, it was like 15 feet wide. You know? I don't know who designed that. But here's what would happen. I would walk back from the grocery store in the evening, and the people called that area Somali Village. The Somali Village. Because Somalians, and we've heard about the disasters there, they go to Yemen for refuge. Now, life is not much better in Yemen for them. They're treated terribly. They have no opportunities. So here they are on the side of the street, sometimes with mothers with 10 children. And you'd see a heap of clothes, and you kind of wonder, what's that heap of clothes doing? And you realize that's an old man, looks 80 or 90 years old, and he's under there sleeping. And sometimes you'd have to walk around the little children. And there would be times, for the first about month I was there, I just didn't know what it meant to be an ambassador in that moment. And I would walk by them thinking to myself, well, the money that I have is donated by my supporters, by my friends. I can't really, you know, I've got to be a good steward. I can't really help these beggars out. I've got to be a good steward. What a cruel, cruel thought. What an inhumane justification. It's so easy to be bad ambassadors. Other times I'd walk by them, and I'd think, well, I don't want to create Western dependency, a dependency on foreign aid. They need to get up, get their jobs, and go move. How heartless. How heartless. And how easy is it to become poor, poor ambassadors? So back to this little survey. The first part, ambassadors are representatives of the King of Kings. And in those moments, the very beginning, when I hadn't thought through this very well, I was a terrible representative. Who was I reflecting? That's not the heart of Christ to walk by the poor and the sick and the lame. That's not the heart of my king. And I began to realize all these Arabs on the street are watching what I'm doing. They're watching, wondering, he's from America. Now, in their world, if you're in the Muslim world, or if you're in the Arabic world, you're a Muslim. There's no choice, no conversations. It's very set that you are naturally Muslim. He's from the West. He must be Christian. So what's his king doing? How is he treating these people? What does that say about the King of Kings? Ambassadors represent the king. The words of the ambassadors should be the words of the king. The heart of the ambassador, the heart of the king. The way that ambassadors see the broken, see the needy, see complex issues, see difficult, difficult times, the struggles, that's how the king should see it. And the compassion and the heart and the joy, the nature, the behaviors, the attitudes of the ambassador should be lined up with the King of Kings, with the king they represent. Second, on our little quiz, is the idea that you can't really be an ambassador of a king if you don't know the king. So let me just pause there for a minute. How do you represent somebody you don't know? You know? How do we have someone come from a different country, a different culture, and they've never lived there, you know? Hey, what if I decided that right now I'm representing to you the country of East Timor? Okay, I know nothing about East Timor. I don't look like them or talk like them. So you have to know the King of Kings, the king you represent. You have to communicate with him, have knowledge of him, fellowship with him, listen to his heart, seek his heart, pursue those ideas. The third on our little quiz, ambassadors have this courage to go. Okay? What kind of ambassador says, yeah, I'm an ambassador? And you're like, where to? Oh, nowhere. I just stay right here. You know? Or picture in Lord of the Rings, you know, at the very beginning when Frodo and Sam are walking along and Sam stops in the field in that, you know, melodic moment when the music is playing. And Frodo turns around with his eyes, you know. Oh, Sam, what are you doing? You know. Sam says, if I take one more step, Mr. Frodo, I'll be the furthest from home I've ever been. Right? And Frodo, okay, imagine with me, what kind of movie would it have been if Frodo turns around and goes, oh, Sam, you're right. Let's go home. The credits roll. Yeah, end of the movie. See, ambassadors know that their mission is outward. We are to be ambassadors representing the king, and our mission is outward. It goes. And sometimes I wonder where our courage has gone. I'm talking to us. I mean, yeah, the church needs a lot of work there too. But our generation, we've become so confident and comfortable in our own culture. We would rather have World of Warcraft or our iPod, or we'd rather hang out with our friends and just chillax, you know, than fulfill our mission as ambassadors, to go across the hall, to go across campus, to go downtown Beaver Falls, to cross ethnic lines, to cross national borders and boundaries, to discover the world of hurt and the world of need that's beyond us. And I think this happens not only because ambassadors know their mission and their purpose, but because ambassadors know what their home is. That we know what the kingdom of God is. We know where we belong. We know what our home is, and we know what it means to leave, to go like Christ came to us. And sometimes I feel like Frodo and Sam, maybe we get stopped in that field, or maybe we get stopped at the Inn of the Prancing Pony, and man, that beer is sweet, and the food is rich, the bed is soft. I guess until the Nazgul stabs you. But you know what I mean? We stop in these places of comfort, and we forget that God has commissioned us, his holy people, to go out and to reach out, to be that land. So ambassadors represent the king, ambassadors know the king, and ambassadors go. So I guess the questions I would like to ask us as we reflect how we're doing as ambassadors, you know, as to ask ourselves, how are we doing in terms of fulfilling this great commandment God has given us? Who do you look like? Who do you represent? If I plopped you right in the middle of Chad, Africa, if I plopped you right in the middle of Laos in Southeast Asia or Kyrgyzstan, do we even know how to spell Kyrgyzstan? Okay. What would we look like? Do we have a heart for these people, and who would we reflect? Second question, do you know your king intimately? Intimately. Have you rubbed up against him enough times? Do you spend enough time with him that he's rubbed off on you, that you have his smell? Any of you guys in those relationships, you know, where the guy comes home and he's like, whoa, I smell like her, you know? I smell like her perfume because it's rubbed off on me. Oh man, how cool would that be if I just picked up one of you guys and said, hey, let's send you out to Mali, and let's send you out to Albania, and let's send you out to Morocco. And then people get there and they go, what is this guy? He smells like something I want. And last of all, do you know where your kingdom is, your home is? Do you know that boundary? I fear that we have lost a sense of our courage. We've lost some identity as ambassadors. We've lost a vision of what it means to have a kingdom of God that's built upon nations coming together, where peoples from all lands bring their flavors, their ethnic flavors, their cultural flavors, their traditions, but where we can come together, where I can go to a country like Yemen or Argentina or Peru, where we can come together and we can see a kingdom vision. A vision of children and mothers and fathers and food that's come from all across the world. And this will be our eternal family. We forget that vision. We lose our courage. We're afraid and don't have faith. I've been able to travel to and share life with people in, I don't know, 6-7 countries. I just graduated last year. There are opportunities out there, guys. One thing that as I've traveled to some different countries, some of them as crazy as Yemen, some of them as cultured as England, okay? One thing I've seen is the world is desperately, desperately wondering if their deepest soul hungers can be met by a different king. People are waiting for a king revolution in their own hearts. They know that the kings that they serve are so unworthy, and they wonder, is there a king that I can follow, that I can love? And God has asked us to be his ambassadors. He's asked us to step into these lands and say, you know what? There is a king, and I want to represent him to you. And guess what? He's moving in you guys, and I want to affirm those movements, and I want to applaud who you are, and I want to show you the heart of this great God. It's missional. It's evangelistic. It's compassionate. As students, you have the opportunities to take internships, to travel over your summers, to embrace local clusters of international refugees within the area, within Pittsburgh area. You have the opportunities to do some radical things that later on in life, when you know your career is locked in and you have kids and grandkids or whatever, you may not have those chances. So my challenge to you is, are you going to radically love these people across borders? Will you be that? This group, this generation, will you start undoing this trend of apathy and undoing this trend of laziness that we prefer our own comforts above seeing the people in the Somalian village be loved, be given bread, be told of his love, be represented to God too? Will you be that generation? Will you be that college that other colleges look at and say, there's something about Geneva. They're beginning to get this vision. They're beginning to get this idea of what it means to be kingdom-oriented. Talk to your church. Talk to me. I know a handful of mission organizations I could hook you up with, opportunities, internships, some crazy opportunities out there. Talk to the Crossroads office. But get engaged. Look beyond this little world. Get out of the inn of the prancing pony and get on your mission. Get on your journey. I promise you that when you get out there and when you submit your preferences, your allegiances to comfort, allegiances to simple ideas or assumptions, maybe the Muslims are terrorists assumptions that we have in our post-World War II, or post-September 11th world, when we surrender those and we say, God, I don't want to have simplistic, misunderstood sentiments towards people. I want to see people like you see them. I want to love them like you love them. I want to say to them what you want to say to them. When you do that, I promise, God promises that you will be enriched and that he will reveal in you a bigger, more joyful perspective of what it means to be human and what it means to be an ambassador. And you know what? They'll also be enriched too. So you could say it's a by-winning experience, right? It's a great thing. So just a challenge to you guys, rise up and do that. And I want to close with the last, I want to actually reread the section of scripture that was read earlier from Isaiah. And if you guys want to close your eyes or if you want to do that, I'll go into prayer after that, so that's cool. But I just want you to think of this vision. I want you to have a glimpse of what this looks like, of the journey, of the story that you could partake in being faithful ambassadors. Arise, shine, for your light, O Zion, O people of God, O holy community of saints, your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. O church, see, darkness is covering the earth. Darkness, thick darkness is over the peoples. All peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you, O Zion, O people of God, O students of Geneva. His glory appears over you. Ambassadors, nations will come to your light. And that light is Christ. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar. Your daughters are carried on the arm as if they are running over the hills, flocking to the light, which is the people of God, showing the heart and nature of God. They flock to that. O Zion, then you will look and you will be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you, to the riches of nations will come. Oh God, we thank you, God, for this commission. We thank you for this vision that you have for people that are outside of our world. We thank you that you have not forgotten the people of countries like Mauritania and Botswana, Germany. We thank you that the people of Lesotho are loved by you. We thank you that there is not a soul in Sri Lanka who is outside of your awareness and your love. But God, you've given us a commission to be ambassadors, and we ask for strength, we ask for wisdom, and we ask God for some fire to be beneath us that would encourage us, that would spark us and push us out of comfort and out of just hanging out at the end of the prancing pony. Give us a vision for what it means to step into countries like Yemen, to face difficulties and confusion and situations that we couldn't even thought of. Give us courage, God, to be faithful ambassadors. Help us to know you. Give us a new passion and a new reason to pursue you in our lives. And God, would you awaken within us that sense of purpose? Clarify our sense of home. Give us courage. Give us wisdom and understanding to go out. In your name, Father, we pray, and we commit ourselves, and we commit this campus. Amen.